how does one of the largest churches in America, with dozens of locations across several states, keep it all together financially? I sit down with my friend Amy Nickel, CFO of Life Church, to talk about preparing your financial processes for growth.
Informing, encouraging, and supporting your church, you're listening to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast from ECFA.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another Excellence in Church Administration podcast. This is Michael Martin from the ECFA team, and I'm so excited today to have as our special guest Amy Nickel, the CFO of Life Church, one of our great ECFA member churches. Amy and I have become good friends over the years and have learned that we have a lot in common. Besides both of us serving in ministry, we share the same great hometown of Oklahoma City, and we both have young kids that are about the same age, and so we get lots of good laughs swapping some of those funny parenting stories. So, Amy, welcome to the ECFA Church Podcast. We are so excited to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, hey, I have asked Amy to join us today because we just finished sharing a great talk with some of our other ECFA church members on preparing your financial processes for growth. And it was such good content that we said we've got to make sure that we also get this out, some of these highlights to our broader church podcast audience as well. And so we're going to come back to those lessons here in a moment in terms of preparing financial processes for growth. But first, Amy, maybe give those listening just a quick background on you and your role there at Life Church.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So first, I am a wife to a wonderful man who has loved and served me for the last 8 years. And I am a mom to the most life-filled and loving two-year-old. As you mentioned, we're both in toddler seasons. But I have the privilege of being a pastor and a leader at Life Church, which is truly one of the most amazing places to work. I've been with Life Church over the last 11 years, and I've served on the finance team in some capacity during the entire time. And today I get to hold the role, as you mentioned, of CFO, but Michael, I have to be honest, my team is really the one who makes everything happen. I have 19 amazing team members, along with 40 equally amazing volunteers who administer all of the financial functions of our organization. So they're truly the heartbeat behind this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that kind of leads into another good question that we have for you, and that is that Life Church is just known for so many great things, some of which I think folks probably know, like as a pioneer in the multi-site movement, one of the largest churches in America today. And there might even be some things they don't know as well, like Life Church was the visionary behind the free YouVersion Bible app. But one of the great heartbeats, Amy, that you were referring to at Life Church, and it's just so evident, and that is leadership. And you serve under someone who I believe is one of the greatest leaders alive today, and that is Pastor Craig Rochelle. The question is, if you could narrow it down to one, what is the top leadership lesson that you have learned serving under Pastor Craig and his leadership?
Wow, just one. Okay, so if I had to choose just one, I would probably say it's the saying, the gift is in the grind. So you're right, Craig is an incredible leader, and he understands and lives the saying. So if you think about it, oftentimes a lot of us struggle through life. We resent and resist even the effort it takes to do many things, whether it's, you know, to get up early or to exercise or commute to work, or just continue any of these disciplined routines that we follow. We perceive the daily grind as an unfortunate necessity, maybe something that we have to endure. But Craig has learned the value of the grind and the gift it presents. So whether it's through results consistent behavior yields, through learnings that his failure brings, or even just the shaping and molding process that we all go through to be more like Christ. I feel like Craig understands the gift and the grind, and he approaches every day with commitment and purpose. And that is inspiring. And as a parent of a toddler, even, I am very aware of the grind. I'm sure you are too. And so I feel like this is especially for important for both of us to remember.
Yes, you are so right. And that's just really good perspective. I think God is always, he's just constantly at work doing miracles on the day to day. And so sometimes I think in the grind, it's not obvious, but that's where the true miracles are happening. So that's a great lesson. I'm sure there are many others. We'll have to have you back on the podcast and get your thoughts on some of the other leadership lessons as well. But getting to kind of the heart of our content for the podcast, earlier I mentioned the talk that you just gave to some of our other ECFA member churches on preparing your financial processes for growth. And I love how you say, Amy, that real growth will only come when we have the margin and the mindset to handle it. So tell us what you mean by that and how it relates specifically to the world of church finance.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it goes back to the verse in Luke that says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. If we're struggling to take care of the things that God entrusted us with today, why would he choose to give us more? You know, most of us would entrust more to someone who has shown the diligence with what they have and is prepared to handle even more. And, you know, God wired me specifically to be passionate about efficiency. I am passionate about doing more with less, but I believe God wants more for each of us. And so it's reasonable to expect that he wants more from each of us. And I think that's what excites me about the topic of scalability and the idea of preparing, you know, for margin and getting in the right mindset, because I want us all to be passionate about growth and the pursuit of it. And, you know, when it comes to church finance teams, the pursuit of it is really the role that they hold. They have the opportunity every day to look at their financial processes and their systems and the way they integrate within the organization and produce incredible results just by making something more efficient. I mean, there have been processes over the last year that we have completely redone. And I'm telling you, Michael, in changing those processes, we probably saved the finance team alone from hiring an entire headcount. And that's just a small example. Our teams impact entire organizations with what we do, and that's really what creates this passion for scalability and being mindful of where God is taking us in the future.
Well, hey, that's awesome, Amy. You had mentioned, too, that there are some practical ways that you would suggest that churches can prepare their financial processes for growth. So in a nutshell, what are some of those practical steps that you would recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are four practical things, if you will, that I believe will help churches start down the path of preparing for growth. So the first is to simplify your chart of accounts. I believe that creating a simple yet intuitive structure will bring clarity to non-financial users and consistency in coding transactions, which ultimately results in better financial reporting and more informed decisions for your organization. And the second thing is to focus on internal control instead of direct control. It's important to maintain an altitude in your financial oversight that allows you to trust but verify. If we can find ways to shape processes so that finance team can steward resources and maintain compliance without having to touch every transaction in our organizations, I believe it will be leaps and bounds towards the ultimate goal of scalability. The third one is to measure your data regularly. If you don't know where you are today, how will you know where you're going or what success looks like? You need to measure your data. Be sensitive to where God is calling you, but allow data to have a seat at the table as you're making decisions. And then the last one is, and probably the one I believe is the most important, is to include, equip, and empower your ministry leaders to project for and manage budgets. So financial management is critical to any organization. We all understand that. But the responsibility can't solely lie with the finance team. You have to include organizational leaders, which means you also have to educate them, you have to equip them, and you have to empower them to lead through your financial goals and your financial vision. I believe that empowering leaders across our organization is the best way to set ourselves up for success in achieving the goals and the outcomes that we desire for our ministries.
Oh, those are great, each of those four. And hey, Amy, just as a follow-up question, I know with number four, and this is just, again, back to the heart of the leadership culture at Life Church and empowering others on, you know, equipping others for some of those projections. Maybe you've shared this with me before, but in terms of how things have changed in the 11 years that you've been there on staff, can you just kind of give a little bit of example to that in terms of how those meetings have changed and the scalability that you've seen there, the time that you've saved?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like you said, I've been on staff for about 11 years. And, you know, back in 2011 or so, I was actually in a leadership role on our financial reporting team. And so the budget process that I'm referring to in this point, it was really my baby. I implemented the first software we used, all of the training materials, and I reviewed every single budget. And to be honest, I loved everything about it because to some extent, I designed it around my skill set. So, you know, back then, the process for our organization didn't necessarily look a lot different than it does today, but there are a lot of things that change. One, the finance team's role looks incredibly different. So, you know, back in 2011, I sat in a room with our directional leadership team for 2 days, 16 hours, and this happened every single quarter. And during this time, I presented the budgets for the entire organization and answered all of their questions about any increase or decrease within the departmental budgets. And, you know, while that approach served us well at the time, it certainly wasn't sustainable if you think about the amount of growth that we've had over the last few years. And it certainly wasn't replicable because I'd really built it around me. And so as I started to think differently, I made some changes. So instead of, you know, staying the expert of the budget process, I spent more time talking to other leaders about trends I was seeing and things that caught my eyes or questions I really felt like we should be asking. And then instead of me engaging in those conversations with the teams on the ground, I actually asked the leaders to have those conversations. And they're really the ones who had the relationship with those team members, and they had the responsibility of the outcome. And so, you know, as we were learning together, sometimes that meant that, you know, they went to the team members, had the conversation, and then came back to me, okay, now what do I do with this? How do I respond to that? But through that process, they learned and I learned. And, you know, you fast forward to today, and the finance team's role in the budget process does look completely different. So, you know, we still review budgets, we train people on how to budget, but we don't do any presentations. So the directional leadership team now sits in a room with other executive leaders, including myself, for 4 hours. That's it. It's 4 hours. And all of the budgets are presented by the leaders over that area. And so, you know, when I think of scalability, obviously, it was a win to speed up a presentation process from 16 hours that no one misses to, you know, 4 hours that we have today. But honestly, the bigger win is that we created a space for leaders to lead in financial conversations and to not just defer to finance with every question that came up or to ask them what basic financial results were that they really should know as significant leaders. And you know, I think that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of that we accomplished is that leaders in our organization know what's going on in their financials, even more so than sometimes I do. And they're addressing financial issues before they even come to my team. And I feel like that alone is huge and will scale far beyond I could have ever done on my own, just solely by inviting others into the process.
Yeah, that is huge. I love what you said, Amy, in terms of don't stay the expert. Like, I think that's so, in some ways, hard for us sometimes to make those shifts. But you're exactly right. As churches grow and we need that scalability, that's so key. And I won't even ask you, like, how big of a coffee you needed on those days that you had those budgeting meetings years ago. I bet your coffee budget has gone down.
Oh, my goodness. You know, what's funny is I can think back to some of those meetings, and one of our directional leadership team, his name is Sam Roberts. He would actually bring in my favorite Starbucks drink just in preparation for the 2 days that he knew I was entering into, and such fond memories, but I guarantee no one wants to go back to 16 hours in, you know, a conference room. I don't know that anyone would look forward to that today.
That's right. Those days are over. Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes, thankfully.
Wow, that's awesome. That's such a good example. And well, I would say here, switching gears just a little bit, you know, Life Church is one of the other things that you guys are known for so well is just being a church of excellence and integrity. And you've been a great friend to ECFA over the years. And I'm excited to say, too, that you were just elected, Amy, to serve as one of our newest ministry board members. And so just a question here is, why have you been such an advocate for ECFA to other churches like Life Church?
Yeah, Michael, I mean, you really said it when you mentioned financial integrity being something that, you know, Life Church is passionate about. And that's really it. Financial integrity is so important to me, and it's so important to Life Church. And I believe that ECFA does an incredible job as the cornerstone of this value. And whether it's through resourcing churches or not-for-profits or just applying accountability, I believe that ECFA is establishing standards that inspire confidence and inspire trust on behalf of their members. And I am proud to be a part of that.
That's awesome. And thank you for all that you do to help serve and support that. ECFA would not be what it is today without so many great ministries like Life Church and so many leaders like you. Well, we're running out of time here, but one last thing that I don't want to miss is also to talk about some of the great ways that Life Church really has a heart to serve other churches with free resources through the Ministry of the Open Network. And we've been so excited at ECFA to recently become a resource partner on Life Church's Open Network. For those that are listening today, for the leaders that are on, can you tell folks what is out there on Open Network in case that they're not familiar with that already?
Yes, I would love to. So one of the core values here at Life Church is that we will lead the way with irrational generosity. And one of the ways we get to live that core value out is by offering everything that we create for our church for free to other churches through our Life Church Open Network. So when I say everything that we create, I'm talking about weekend sermons, kids curriculum, worship music, graphics, apps, financial resources, everything. We make it available for free. And so that website is open.life.church. And there you can create an account. And through that network, pastors and church leaders have access to thousands of resources and trainings to help them reach more people in their communities for Christ. And a couple of additional things that you can find out there. We have some specific websites and apps that will, one, allow you to track your church metrics like attendance, giving, and salvations through a product called Church Metrics. We have another product called develop.me that you can actually use internally to take your teams through developmental conversation and performance reviews. And then lastly, we have something called the Church Online Platform, where you can actually broadcast your own church services online. And so we do our best to take what God has allowed us to create within our organization and gift it to other ministries. And in addition to that, we recently started partnering with other ministries who are like-minded, who have the heart to equip the church. And we currently have 15 partners, including Fresh Life Church, Elevation, New Spring, and most recently, we're extremely excited that the ECFA is now an open network partner. And so not only will ministries benefit from Life Church resources, they can now benefit from all these amazing ministries and amazing people that have so much to offer as well. And so we love being able to provide that to other ministries and help them be successful.
Well, that's awesome. And I just feel compelled to say on behalf of so many leaders that are out there, thank you just for the way that you guys do model irrational generosity. It really, truly is making a huge difference, and we can't thank you enough. Well, hey, along a similar line, Amy, as we wrap up, I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are listening that have more questions for you or would love to learn more about you and what you're doing. What's a good way for folks to stay connected with you, maybe also with Life Church? What's a good way to do that?
Yeah. So, you know, Life Church is easy. It's life.church. You can find, you know, all of the latest things on our website. For myself, obviously, I'm on several different social media platforms, from Facebook, you know, to LinkedIn, to Twitter. And so you can look for me, Amy Nicol, in any of those platforms. And then on an ongoing basis, as people do ministry, if you have questions that I can help with, or anyone on my team can help with, you can contact us at finance@life.church. And we'd be happy to take all those questions and wrestle through them with you and see if there's a way that we can partner together to do ministry in new ways and to solve problems that you're wrestling with and that we're wrestling with together.
Awesome. Well, thank you for, again, being so generous to offer that and for all that you shared today. We so appreciate that, Amy. And as Amy also shared earlier, just in terms of financial integrity here, we have just been so excited to see the Lord bring so many great churches into partnership with ECFA. Today, churches are the fastest growing segment of ECFA members, and more churches are wanting to display the ECFA seal as a sign of their commitment to financial integrity before givers in a watching world. And so if you're not already an ECFA member like Life Church, you can check out the brand new simplified application process at ecfa.church/join. Or you can just email us at podcast@ecfa.org, and our team will definitely help guide you through that process. It takes just a few minutes to get started. You can also enjoy so many other great resources to equip your church for integrity at ecfa.church. We just want to say thank you again to everyone for taking the time to invest in your leadership on the podcast today. We are so thankful for each of you and the important work that you do in the church, and we look forward to connecting with you again soon on another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.